Well, last week, if you remember, we were battling with the flesh. And guess what? This week we are too. If we don't in Scripture, we certainly will in ourselves, right? So the battle continues to be against the flesh. But Jesus is our banner. He is our victory. He's the one that we can hold up and say we are victorious over sin. And that's exciting stuff, you know. I was telling Bob, we're just going through a lot of changes at work, and it's very easy to get excited about some of the things that are taking place. And in the same token, it can get a little anxious at times and whatnot. But it can seem so. I don't know how you feel about your work, but I like being an engineer. I like doing the work, you know, of it and all. But there's something much more beneficial, and that's to be in God's Word and to do His will, you know, His plan for our lives. I don't think anything that the world can give us can hold a candle to what the Lord has for us, you know. It's good to be. To be able to hold His banner, you know, to have a testimony for the Lord amongst those that we work with and those that we live by, you know, just to have that testimony of the Lord. And I think as I look at this scripture tonight, I see a man that is often overlooked, and that is Jethro. He's only mentioned a few times, but we know him as Moses' father-in-law. But he wasn't just his father-in-law, he was his pastor. You know, he was Moses' pastor. Just as Moses was Joshua's pastor. He taught him, he showed him things. And he had wisdom that was beyond his disciple, you could say. And often we need to listen. You know, I think as I read through this week and studied it, the one thing I got out of it was, Fred, you need to listen. You need to be a better listener, you know. For two reasons. One, to discern wisdom, and one, to discern what isn't wisdom. Right? And I think as we look at Moses here, we can see his stumblings as the Lord would lead him into Midian. But we also see that the trip to Midian was a blessing to him because he met this man Midian, or Jethro, in Midian. And he learned a lot. He learned how to take care of sheep that weren't his. And that's what we do here. We take care of sheep that really aren't ours. You know, no pastor can claim that they own a certain flock or own a certain bunch of sheep, you know. It's really, who is our shepherd? And that would be Jesus. He's the one that authorizes me to be here. He's the one that authorizes us to sing these songs. He's the one that authors our lives. And He should be the one that's instructing us to come and instructing us to go. And He should be the one that's making the decisions, and we're just obeying the decisions that He makes. And I have a problem with that sometimes. I have a problem listening. And I need to be pricked, you know. So we start here in Exodus 1 here. It says, "And Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back with her two sons, in whom the name of one was Gershom, for he said, 'I have been a stranger in a foreign land, and the name of the other was Eleazar. For he said, "And God of my father was my helper and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh." And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, who was he to Moses? We've been told here three times, right, that he's Moses' father-in-law. So it stands to have some importance there. Came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness, where he was encamped at the mountain of God. And he had said to Moses, "I, your father-in-law, Jethro, right, am coming to you with your wife and your two sons with her." I think when the scriptures, you know, keep saying, "This is my father-in-law, this is my father-in-law," there's some importance there, right? I think it allows us to see that Jethro had some authority in Moses' life, right? That he played an important role in his life. I would almost term him not father-in-law here, but father. Because I really think that Jethro had a fatherly influence over Moses. He played the part of his father. He played the part of his pastor. He was now bringing him back, you know, bringing his family back to him, as Moses perhaps maybe had, you know, he had brought his family in there, but into Egypt. However, he had sent them away at some point, and a lot of people speculate that as the Lord was doing something in Egypt, that there was the plagues that were sent, and God would give him discernment, right? Which is really a gift from the Lord through His Spirit, that He would give him that discernment to send his family away, right? I think every man would stand up and say, I want my family to be safe. And I think that was Moses' heart, that he wanted his family to be safe. So he entrusted him. See, when Moses took his wife, right, the scriptures are clear that when a man takes a woman as his wife, that they should cleave to that husband, right? Which gives us an important picture, really, of how important God thinks that a man should be leading his family, right? That he should be standing strong and protecting them and making good decisions. Or else God wouldn't tell you ladies to cleave. He loves you too much, right? Doesn't want you to cleave to the wrong thing. So here's Moses. He finds his family perhaps in some danger. Maybe he's got the discernment of the Lord there, and he says he doesn't want them to be within this plagued society of Egypt. So he sends them back to somebody that he can entrust his family with, and that is Jethro. It's always nice to have somebody in relation, right? I know have friends and that have families that are broken, and they don't have anybody to send their children to. They can't trust the grandparents because they're not godly. They can't trust their sister or their brother because they're into things that they shouldn't be into. And so they really have no security in that. You know, in our first, really for our kids' sake, some of the importance of a parent is making sure that beyond our parenthood, our kids are taken care of, right? And for me and Karen, when we had three at the time, and Karen's parents weren't saved. Matter of fact, none of her family was saved at the time. And we had a hard time thinking that perhaps if something happened to us, that we would have our kids sitting in a home that wasn't teaching them about the Lord. We loved Karen's parents, obviously, right? Even while they weren't saved, we loved them. But we had a responsibility for our kids. So when we made out our will, we provided instructions to put them into a godly home with some friends we knew that would take care of them. You know, and that's the responsibility here of the father. You know, as we approach Father's Day, I think it's important that we step back onto the podium of fatherhood and act like it, right? We do the duties of the father. We protect our family. We provide for our families. We do it as God would have us to do and as He would instruct us to do, that we be men of our household. So I think Jethro here provided a wonderful example of a father to Moses. And he would say here, it would say here that Jethro saw that and heard all that God had done for Moses and Israel, his people. He would see how faithful the Lord was, how wonderful the Lord was to Moses, bringing him through that place of Egypt there. And what fulfillment I must think that Jethro had, thinking that he probably raised Moses to be, really, he raised him in as he was a young man. Jethro was his one that influenced him, had the godly influence on. It was with Jethro that Moses was able to learn humility and understand what it meant to be a servant. You know? What it meant to have nothing but God. You know? But I love how the Lord would put in here the names of the sons here. And he would define the names of the sons. And the first one there would be named, I have been a stranger in a foreign land. Really gives us a understanding of Moses, in a sense. He was a stranger. He was a stranger in a foreign land. As with us, we're a stranger here. Though we go through tribulations and we go through pains and we go through trials of the world, we got to remember that we're Gesham. We're just a stranger in this foreign land. But God's got us here. God's got us here to be a testimony to Him. Just as Moses was a testimony to Israel, or to Egypt, right? The children there, the people of Egypt, saw the God of the universe. They saw the contrast between their gods that they created, their foreign gods, and the God that was creator of all. He would also say of his other son there, the God of my father was my help. It tells you that, you know, that God was it. God led him out of Egypt. He was his help. It wasn't Moses doing it on his own. It wasn't Moses' strategy. He understood that it was not his own strength that led him out of Egypt, but it was the Lord's. And we got to realize that too, as the Lord allows us to go through some pain, when He allows us to go through some trials, and when He allows us to go through them tribulations that we don't necessarily desire to be in, sometimes we wish we weren't in, right? But we got to remember that God is our help, right? That He is the one that gets us through it. It's His strength that gets us through it, right? God, deliver us from this. You know, we should be asking the Lord to deliver us from it. Don't try to do it on our own, because many times we're not very successful at that, doing it our own way, right? I like God's way out a whole lot better. Verse 7, so Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, bowed down and kissed him. Can you see the love that he has for his father-in-law? And they asked each other about their well-being. And they went into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardships that had come upon them on the way. And now the Lord had delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the good which the Lord had done for Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, "Blessed be the Lord who has delivered you out of the hands of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and who has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know the Lord is greater than all the gods, for in the very thing in which they behaved proudly, he was above them." And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and other sacrifices to offer to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. In verse 8, it says that Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done. It says all the hardships and all the victories. He told them about everything. He just didn't say, "It's been so wonderful." But he said, "This is what the Lord delivered us from." Right? Some of the hardships. He told of the hardships. I think of this as reality, right? This is reality. We have hardships. And then the Lord gives us victory or He delivers us out of those sorts of things. But in reality, we all go through these things, right? We all know this. So don't pretend that we don't. Don't put on a happy face when somebody asks you, "How you doing?" "Oh, I'm doing wonderful. I hate life," is what you're really saying, right? "I'm doing terrible today, but I'm not going to tell him." "Wonderful. Everything's joyous," right? Be honest. You know, and that's what you see here. The relationship between Jethro and his father was pure honesty. And I think about how we need to fellowship together. How we as a family of God need to fellowship together. That we need to be honest with each other. How we're feeling. How we're bummed. How we're happy. Right? Mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice. Right? It's good to laugh together and it's okay to cry together. But we need to share those things with each other. God expects His children to comfort each other and to encourage each other. And because of all this, everything that Jethro saw, he saw the blessing of the Lord, he saw the Lord delivering them out of hardship. I can only imagine as they went into the tent how long of a story it was, how long of a time of crying it was. How long of a time of rejoicing it was. What a wonderful time of fellowship it was for them, I think it was. And in verse 11 he says, "Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods." I have a feeling that Jethro knew that before. But just as God does to us today, He sometimes gives us, you know, maybe a boulder. How's that? A boulder. He gives us this boulder so that we can rejoice, you know. So that we know that He is still on His throne. You know, He's still on His throne. No matter what's happening. I had a friend that would always say that to me. I'd say, "Hey, Nate, how you doing?" "God is still on His throne." It could be worst day in history, man. God is still on His throne. And that's what we got to remember is though it's a bad day, God is still on the throne. Right? Nobody's kicked Him off yet. Nobody will kick him off. He's still on the throne. And we got to remember that. He's the one that we go to. It says that we can go boldly to the throne of God. That we have such access to Him. We have such access to the Lord. And sometimes we stumble in that, don't we? We don't do it. It's like an open door policy. But we never walk through the door. We never ask the Lord. We never ask for help. But I think of the testimonies that the Lord has given us, you know, as we've come out of Egypt, as Moses came out of Egypt. The testimonies that he gives us to share with those, to encourage them. You know, I remember when I first arrived here, I was here a couple months and a man came in and he so much wanted to give his testimony. So I questioned him about it and he didn't really like my response because, see, he wanted to get up on stage. He wanted to share his testimony. See, it's not our testimony that we want to share, right? It's God's testimony that we want to share. When we start sharing our testimony, wrong. We want to share God's testimony. What He's done in our lives. Not what we've done. That's a terrible testimony. We had that before we had the Lord, right? We want to give them God's testimony. And I, you know, there's a book, I can't remember what it's called, it doesn't come to mind, but Bob probably knows. It's got all the early Calvary pastors in it. Do you remember that book's name? Harvest, yes. I was trying to think of that, and I was like, it just isn't coming. But Harvest, if you want to write that down, it's a good book. It's full of the testimony of what the Lord did in these men's lives. Radical, radical, radical changes in these men's life, leading them to be preachers of the gospel from hell, really. I mean, he brought them out of hell to use them, in a sense. Hippies, no good hippies. But what a difference, a life that is testifying of God's wonderfulness, you know, how God will use that. Verse 13, and so it was on the next day that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. That's a long day. It's a long day. So when Moses' father-in-law, all that he did for the people, he said, "What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit? And all the people stand before you from morning until evening." And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a difficulty, they come to me and I judge between one and another. And I make known the statutes of God and His law." So, if you can just imagine the line of people. I heard a pastor say, you know, the ministry wouldn't be so bad if it wasn't for all the people. You know? And it can be that way if you allow it to be. If you allow it to overburden you, right? So what was Jethro seeing in Moses? Jethro was seeing, in a sense, a man that was getting towards the brink. He had been through a lot, right? He had led him out of Egypt where God had allowed him to lead them out of Egypt. He had been through a lot physically. He had been through a lot spiritually. He had seen a lot of miracles. He just, and here he is with Jethro, and he's judging the affairs of the people. And Jethro takes notice here in this large mass of people, and of course it took him forever to go through the judgments, and Jethro would see how burdensome it was, and he wasn't afraid to confront them either. You know, we know more about Moses than we do Jethro, He was quite the leader. But Jethro was one of them guys, I think, that was behind the scenes, that would whisper in Moses' ear and say, "Hey, you know, maybe you ought to think of it this way." He was one of those kind of guys. He didn't need to stand out in front of the crowd. He just was doing what the Lord had instructed him to do, given him that wisdom. Moses is at the top here was valid, right? Valiant, in a sense, because he knew the Word of God. And he wanted to lay it before the people, and he wanted to make sure they were doing the right thing and the affairs of the people were taken care of fairly through the statutes and the law. But it can be overwhelming. It can be overwhelming. And that's the fear here of our friend Jethro. And it says in verse 17, "So Moses, his father-in-law, said to him, 'The thing that you do is not good.'" He says, "What do you mean it's not good? What do you mean it's not good? I'm judging these guys as a fair according to the statutes of God and His law. How could that not be good? You know, I'm doing the ministry as the Lord has asked me to. How could that not be good? I'm doing the ministry of the Lord." And it wasn't so much what he was doing, but how he was doing it. "Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourself out. For this thing is too much for you, for you are not able to perform it by yourself." I think Jethro was saying, "You got to get real. You got to get real. This is too much. This is way too much for you. How are you gonna sustain it? How are you gonna carry it out? You know, how are you gonna really do this thing the long term? Are you looking ahead? How are you gonna be able to lead the people after you've been through all this? And how the people that are with you, how they're gonna lose their strength as well? Because believe it or not, as the pastor is being burdened, so aren't the people being burdened, right? There's a effect there that it has on them as well. "Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel." Are you listening? God says, "I'll give you counsel if you're listening." But you got to listen, Moses. "And God will be with you. Stand before God for the people, so that you may bring the difficulties to God." You know, we saw this in the New Testament just recently when we went through the chapter 6 of Acts, where the apostles said, "Man, we've got to concentrate on the Word of God. We got all these other things bogging us down and perhaps even creating burdens for us, in a sense, so we can't concentrate on the Word of God. We need some help. We need some delegation going forth." And what's Jethro saying here? "Stand before God for the people." What's he saying there? He's saying, "Pray. Moses, you've got to pray for these people. You're laying out all the judgments and you're forgetting about praying for them. They don't need you to solve their problems. They need God to solve their problems. Pray for them. And you shall teach them the statutes of the law and show them the way in which they must walk and work and the work they must do." So, he's saying, teach them. Teach them. You got to teach them. Teach them the Word. If you teach them the Word, what happens? If you're walking in the Word and I'm walking in the Word, what happens? The disputes start to go away because we're in agreement. When we're not walking in the Word, there starts to be discord, right? It's like the symphony. One bad violin can ruin a whole symphony, right? It reduces the disputes of the people. So God said, first step here in the delegation process is you got to pray for the people. Secondly, you got to teach them the Word of God. You got to teach them what you know, right? You got to teach them what you know so that they can live their lives. Teach them the statutes and the law and show them the way in which they must walk and the work that they must do. By teaching us, by getting taught the Word of God, the statutes of God, making them, God says, implant that in your heart, right? Hide the Word of God in our hearts. When we do that, see, the last portion of that scripture there, the work they must do, it'll show us. It'll show them, right? So he's saying to Moses, I want you to teach them so they go out and be doers of your word, just as James would say, be doers of your words. Not just hearers only, but be doers of the word. 21, moreover, you shall select from them from all the people, able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of 50 and rulers of tens. God says, I want you to pick able men. I want you to pick men that are godly, that fear God, men that are men of truth, they have a desire for God's truth, and they don't covet. They don't look towards the riches of the world. They don't get drawn away or ensnared in the things of the world. Then you can trust those men with your people. Matter of fact, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 would say, thou therefore, my son, as Paul would instruct his disciple Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ, and the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. So there's this understanding that when we choose leaders in our church, they're to be able men, they're to be faithful men, they're to be fearing, God-fearing men, they're to be men of truth and men that don't covet, are not distracted by the world affairs, that are willing to serve. So the third step there in the delegation process is really to make sure you have men that are able to serve in that way. Verse 22, and let them judge the people at all times. Then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they shall themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. If you do this thing, and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all the people will also go to their place in peace. Jethro wasn't saying, abandon your leadership. abandon your leadership responsibilities, but he was saying, let's do it wisely, you know. Let's do it wisely so that you're not overburdened, so that you're able to endure. And I like that last portion. It says, and if you're, then you will be able to endure, and all this people will also go to their place in peace. Right? It's not all about Moses enduring. It's about the people and their peace as well. It was better for the people. It wasn't just better for Moses, but it was better overall for the body of Christ. Remember in Matthew 11, verses 28 and 30, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God never expects us to be burdened while we serve Him. He doesn't want us to be burdened. So often in ministry, and when I say that, I say it somewhat loosely because I think we're all in ministry if we're saved. If we've accepted Christ as our Savior, I think we're all in ministry. But sometimes as the Lord would give us ideas, we think that sometimes we have to go out and do those ideas ourselves. But we don't. We don't have to, if we choose not to. God doesn't mind you having a helper or two, you know. It certainly encourages us, right? It's hard to walk alone. You know, and I've had some people even that have come here and said, you know what, I just need to go seek Jesus and I never see Him again. Because they're trying to walk alone. God didn't make the body of Christ to walk alone, you know. Right? He made it to encourage each other. He made it to help each other. Right? So Moses heeded the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds and rulers of 50 and rulers of 10. So they judged the people all at all times. The hard cases they brought to Moses, but they judged every small case themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way to his own land. A couple things here. One is that Moses heeded the wise counsel of his father. That was good. Secondly, in verse 25 there, when it would say that there was some that were over 1,000 and some over 100 and some over 50 and 10. That's the way the Lord did it. But it didn't mean that one was more important than the other. Or God wouldn't have done it that way, would He? Doesn't really matter where God positions you. God just asks you to serve Him. And I like the last portion here. So then they judged the people at all times. The hard cases they brought to the Lord, but they judged every small, or to Moses, but they judged every small cases themselves. And I think that was enabled by what Jethro had put forth here, that he would teach the people. That he would instruct the people. And therefore, those that he chose, these men that feared God, were men that were taught by Moses. the things that the Lord had showed him. And certainly, the things that Moses would teach them, these men would also follow and receive that instruction. And you would see similar things probably taking place in the way they judged. Right? That you could say, gee, that looks similar to the way Moses would have done that. Because Moses instructed him in the Lord, them in the Lord. And the last thing I'll say, God's work, when God's work becomes burdensome, when it becomes overwhelming to us, and I've been there. We know one thing. We know that we're imbalanced. You know, that we need to pray. We need to pray for guidance from the Lord. And we need to ask the Lord, Lord, where's that one that's wiser than I, that I could listen to? Where's that father-in-law of mine? You know, where's that person that I can lean upon, that I can ask questions to, that I can gain encouragement from, so that I would do the right thing, so that I wouldn't become overburdened in the Lord, you know, and I wouldn't do what the Lord would really want me to do because I overburden myself.